Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Welcome back to another episode of Right Here in Mass. Today's guest is Andrew McCullough, owner of Reclaimed Remodeling. A remodeling artist that has spent more than 20 years in the contracting industry, Andrew specializes in transformations that truly reclaim your home. Andrew, thanks for coming on the show.
Hi, Ashley. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Please share more with our audience more about you and what you do.
So I started out in 2009 with a first company. And we really specialize in transforming your home, like just like you had stated, and really, really like to bring in that personal touch to the projects.
Awesome. How did you get started in the contracting industry?
I went to BayPath, which is a trade school here mm-hmm. in Charlton, Mass. I graduated in 05. And I had such an eager and desire to start my own company at an early age. So in like 09, when that hit, I decided to just jump into it head first. Didn't really think much about it, just jumped into it. And it's been going ever since.
Love that. And I know that you started your business during the height of the recession and the housing crisis back in 2008 when that happened. I know you launched in 2009. But as we hear talk about a possible looming recession that's happening in 2023, could you share more about your experience and what you learned during that time?
Yeah. So back in 08, 09 recession, to be honest, I might have been a little naive to the world going on around me, which might have been a blessing, you know, but I was willing to work hard, very hard, whatever it took, whatever kind of job back then. I'm very hands-on in everything mm-hmm. I do and very involved. But back then, if I had to go paint, I'd paint. If I had to clear snow off a roof, that's what I did to just get my name out there. I was willing to work hard for that. This recession's hasn't slowed me down. This current one, if you want to call it the recession, it's just been a lot more learning curves with pricing and how to word your contract so that the client doesn't get hurt in the end and you don't get hurt. It's try to create a middle term grounds on knowing that a price of a material is going to go up 30% just because of the COVID-19. So it was a lot to learn for that, and having a good understanding with the client that pricing is subject to change right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And not only that, but also I can imagine that depending on the material, it might be back ordered or out of stock, or there might be shipping delays with all of the shipping craziness that was happening. So I can imagine that's probably another hurdle, depending on what you're ordering and whatnot, that might have been something to work through.
Oh, yeah, that was a major one. There was one company for windows. They were 60 weeks
is what they would say.
You know, they would never say how many months. They would say 60 weeks, which is over, you know, that's a lot of time. So it was always learning how to reschedule and adapt and maybe have a couple jobs open so that you can jump to the other one because you're waiting on that material to come in.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that I feel like it always has to happen in your industry is just that flexibility. My fiance is a plumber, and that's something that I feel like he always does is he's always having to move projects around based on timelines of other projects and other contractors that he has to rely on to get their stuff done. So flexibility seems like it's something that kind of is the name of the game in your industry.
It really is. Like, you can have a schedule together, but within like an hour or two, that schedule is thrown out the window and you got a whole and you have a whole new plan because just that one phone call or that one sub that can't be there. But you mm-hmm. learn to adapt and you just communicate with everybody, which is the key to any business, really, is communication.
Right.
That's how like anything really gets done is through talk and not being afraid to tell someone, okay, I can't be there today. I'm going to be there tomorrow. You know,
right.
I promise you that.
Absolutely. And I can imagine that during the pandemic, although it made things difficult with shipping delays or just the pricing increasing, I know that many people were looking to actually enhance and improve their homes during that time because people were spending so much time at home and therefore wanted to really build out that quote unquote oasis for themselves ultimately. So did you find that you were getting a lot busier during that time because of the fact that people wanted to really get the most out of their space and out of their home?
Yeah, it was extremely busy. And it was because people were staying home, but also the interest rates were low on refi loans and refi the house. And now, and you know, it's like cash out and it's guaranteed money that they had. So that was kind of like also the push to getting these so much work. And there was so much out there because there was so much abundance of the money. And I think that's why some of the COVID pricing kind of came up because they could see that people were willing to pay because they had the money. So, but it was definitely busy. It was very busy.
Yeah, I always say that's a good thing. Always good
Yeah,
to be
for
busy.
sure, for sure.
Now, tell us a little bit more about the types of projects that you work on, maybe some of your favorite projects that you've done up to date. I'd love to hear more of the scope of your work and what you do.
So we are a complete like design build, and I say we as in I have a dedicated team of subs. I have no employees in any capacity. I just have a dedicated team. So I do all the design in-house, plans, renderings, what color of walls to what color of cabinets and the full layout. So we offer that. And then I go from there and we basically transform your home. We really do. We specialize in custom interiors, but we do exterior transformations as well, from start to finish, and we handle the whole project. So you know, it's a really good experience for the client because it is owner operated. There's not much time that I am not on site, you know, and I try to keep the jobs open like two at most. Three, if it's really because of scheduling. But I'm on site every day working with the subs. We're working with the client, trying to hash out whatever last minute details or changes. Really just that personal touch.
Absolutely. And I can imagine that it's really convenient for the clients to work with just one individual yourself compared to them needing to speak to the electrician and the painter and the plumber and all of the other people that are a part of the project as well.
Exactly. And they are there. And my subs, so the subs that I work with, are very communicative with the client and me scheduling. It just really makes for an easy process for everyone.
Absolutely. And so, with the types of projects that you do, would examples be like additions, finishing basements? Like, what are the types of things that you've been working on lately?
Mainly kitchens. We just wrapped up a first floor kitchen in Westboro. I was there for 3 months, start to
Wow.
finish. And I had no other jobs going on but that one, just the way that scheduling was. I had nothing else prior like going on. But that was a kitchen. It was a split level home. So it was you walk in the front door, we completely redid the living room on the left side, and then the kitchen straight ahead. And it also led to half a basement remodel as well because we took out a chimney that was about 11 tons worth of brick.
Oh my
So
gosh.
it was a fairly large project. And by taking out the chimney, it led to that structural work. But that has been by far one of my favorite projects. It was nice. I really got to have some artistic approach to it, really creative freedom. The client respected every like decision, and we just got along. It was seamless. It was just fun.
I love that. I work in marketing, so that's what I always say is that being able to have that creative freedom with any type of project and just be able to work with someone who has the mindset of, I trust you, I trust whatever you want to do, feel free to just run with it, I think is huge. And then it always ends up leading to better results because they know that they're hiring you as the expert to see things through.
100%, 100%. And it's not easy to land those clients. And I've been fortunate enough to have quite a few in my career. And it just makes me fall in love with what I do like that much more, because it's not really work at that point for me.
Right.
I'm just going to have fun.
Yeah.
And that's what's nice.
Yeah, absolutely. I always say that with the contracting industry in general, I tend to feel bad for some of the contractors, because unfortunately what ends up happening is that there's always that one contractor that ghosts someone or doesn't complete the job but takes the money, or completes the job but it's really low quality work. And then it unfortunately makes a bad rep for everyone else in the industry who is nowhere near that and is always being responsive and communicative and providing high quality work. So is that something that you've had to deal with, is perhaps homeowners being a little bit wary of the people that they work with just because of a prior poor experience that they've had with someone else?
Yeah, it's sometimes, I don't want to say it's a harder sale, but it is, you know, when someone has been burnt or knows someone that has been burnt from a contractor, that stigma that we're all out there to, you know, just to gaff people for money is not the truth. There is several, many good companies out there that can take on a project and do an honest service to you and your home, you know? So it is definitely a stigma that's tough to get past, for sure. And I don't want to say I'm past it, but I have a good reputation and following of word of mouth clients, because that's how I get a lot of my work, is through word of mouth. And so it's not as hard for me, but that stigma is still there, for sure.
Yeah. And I always say that referrals are the best compliments. So that's great that a lot of the work that you've gotten is just from past clients that you've worked with who are now giving your name out to their friends, their family members, coworkers, whoever it might be.
Yeah, for sure. And back to kind of the subject. So back in 19, I had taken a job on, a fairly massive job in Webster. That contractor started the project, took the money and ran. So that was like a build takeover. So I had to deal with the client having to find the funding to continue with the project and to have it run smoothly to get them in the house on the same schedule that the previous guy had. So I had to walk into a pretty much a framed house that was wired and plumbed, but half the wiring and plumbing was wrong. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of on the seat kind of fly, figure out and troubleshoot all those situations, but we were able to still like execute on schedule with all that. So that was another fun one, I guess you could say.
The good thing is that it probably put you in really high graces with the client for being able to get them back on track and instill their trust in the industry again and ensure that they're left with a project that they're happy about despite going through the hardships in the first place.
Exactly.
This episode of Right Here in Mass is brought to you by Melissa J. Pond, LLC. Is your mission-driven organization struggling to secure funding or communicate your strategy effectively? Meet Melissa J. Pond, LLC, an expert in grant writing, strategic planning, and visual storytelling with over 15 years of experience in the nonprofit and government sectors. Recognized with multiple professional awards, Melissa can help create lasting change and improve the lives of those you serve. Connect with her today at melissajpond.com to see how she can add value to your organization. That's melissajpond.com. And so one of the things that I know you've done throughout the past few years, and you've mentioned a few times during this episode, is shifting from having employees to working solo, but bringing on subcontractors. And so how do you have like a vetting process for finding the right people so that you know that they are kind of are true to their word and that they can be trusted with the quality of their work?
Okay. So two subs that I use for, let's say, carpentry like work, they were former employees of me at one point. So I know their level of work and their caliber and their work ethic. So it makes the transition of hiring them easier. And electrician and plumber and subs of that, it's honestly been trial by error to find that right sub that works well with our brand and to instill the confidence in everybody involved. So it's not an easy feat. It's really not an easy feat to find those quality subs. But I've got a good list now. So again, it's just trial and error. It really is.
Yeah. And I can imagine it might be tricky working around other people's schedules where if some of your subs might be really busy themselves, kind of getting them on the right timeline for what your projects are and just kind of aligning everything all together.
Yeah, it's definitely like a juggle. I don't know other word, but it's a juggle.
I can imagine. Mm-hmm. And so I know that another thing too that's really interesting about what you do is that your wife owns a business and then you two own a business together. So I'd love to hear more about that and how you juggle both businesses while still kind of having that work-life balance and being able to give the same amount of devotion to both of them.
Yeah, that's always the fun. Luckily, I'm married to my high school sweetheart, 20 years. 20 years we've been together. And without her, like, I probably wouldn't be where I am. She really keeps things grounded, but also knows when I'm working, I'm going to work, and she lets me work, to get stuff done. So that's really the, you know, my good baseline is she's there for me on that level. So she actually helped push me to get on this podcast today. So this is, like I said, and this whole thing is new to me, so which is great. So so the first company she runs, Gina Marie Graphic Design. She's a fantastic graphic artist. She handles all my business marketing and several other companies, but she also specializes in wedding invitations and wedding venue and coordinating people's weddings and getting all the details locked in with the save the dates and even sometimes the centerpieces and things like that. So that's really, really her specialty is weddings and the marketing. Like the branding of a company. So she's really helped with me on that level. And then we own a sign company together, taking my skills as a carpenter and her skills as a graphic artist. The company is called Mr. and Mrs. Naughty, K-N-O-T-T-Y. And we make home decor and signs. We use like a white or black pre-finished backer and a white or black vinyl lettering. And then I take a reclaimed wood that I took down from a barn and I make the frames out of that. So we sell those on Etsy. We also sometimes do like events.
Yep.
Where we'll go, and we have a little vintage 1969 tag-along camper that we had got it, you know, at a landfill for free. I fully rebuilt it, redesigned it. It creates a little like boutique on wheels, so we can set up all the signs on the inside. It's really nice, but that's kind of like our little marketing thing for that. So we definitely have fun with that, but to try to balance everything, it's just, we just go with the flow.
Yeah.
Really, we just go with the flow.
Yeah, and I feel like that's kind of what you have to do, right? Is that committing to certain hours might not always be possible. So it's kind of just understanding where one time of year might be busier for one business than another and vice versa. And just kind of being able to handle those ebbs and flows that come through depending on projects and timelines and everything else that you have going on.
Exactly. It is like a juggle, but, and I'm not gonna say it's easy. I'm not gonna say it's difficult either. It's just, we just know how to just work and just get it done, you know?
Absolutely. And going back to your construction business, I'd love to hear more about the types of people that you work with. In particular, do you find that homeowners themselves hire you, or do you ever get hired from like another contractor who might be overseeing the project, or maybe even both?
Yeah, so it's mainly client-based, but I do work for other contractors as a sub. I did that for quite a bit, and I still do off and on. It's not difficult to work for them. We're kind of on the same page and understanding, because sometimes we'll just say, hey, I'm going to help you today. If you can come help me tomorrow, we kind of do things like that. But we learn to kind of just work together on getting these projects moving along and done.
Absolutely. And what types of areas or locations do you typically work in?
So we're located in Oxford, Mass. So I usually do within an hour tops of Oxford, Mass. So it relatively gets you pretty far here, but I try to stick towards the Mass side. So I'll work up to like the Maine, New Hampshire border, but I tend to stick nearly no further than like Framingham, mm-hmm. Natick or Framingham, because once you get into Boston, it's a whole different ball game of work between parking and all that. I'm more comfortable staying out of the city of Boston. It's just what I'm comfortable with.
Yeah, and I can imagine my fiancé Jeremy has the same thing, because they sometimes do work in like Hyde Park or West Roxbury, and he's like, it's impossible to park the truck and get our materials out of the truck in the city when there's so much going on.
Yeah, for sure. And then the travel time, like alone, like again, that, now you're losing an hour and a half to 3 hours a day in travel, depending upon.
Seriously.
So it's like, I like staying the really the 45-minute range, but I'll travel up to an hour
mm-hmm.
the job to get it. But it all depends.
That makes sense. Yeah. And for our listeners, we're currently recording this episode at the end of April, just for some context. But Andrew, would you say that you're entering your busy season? Like, do you find that things start to pick up once the warmer weather rolls around and summer starts coming?
Yeah, it's usually, we call it the tax season rush, where people are getting their taxes back and they're going, what can we afford now? And so then you start quoting, like, now's the quote time, usually. So then now it's like the next few months, the summer and the fall is usually go mode, there's a lot of projects unfolding and you're working out those details to get it done before the winter hits, which we've been blessed with winters that haven't been bad. So
I know it was really so mild this past winter.
Yeah, which was nice. It was different. It doesn't feel like winter, but it's like summer and fall. It's mm-hmm. long days. That work-life balance gets a little gray in areas, because you're just working to keep things on schedule and keep everybody happy.
Absolutely. And one thing I always am curious, just to see how this works with contractors who particularly do anything outside or with exterior work, is just with the weather. Like if it rains or anything like that, how do you, I know you mentioned flexibility and kind of talked about that a little bit, but how do you move your schedule around and maybe move projects that you can do inside during that time and just kind of get all that shifting going without feeling like you're ultimately losing out on time because of the weather that you unfortunately can't control?
Yeah, that's never an easy feat. It's mm-hmm. always, again, back to that juggling. Like you don't want to have 5 or 6 jobs open, because then it's just crazy.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have to say, okay, we got this phase of the project done to this point. We're at a standstill anyways because of a sub. The next phase is to bring in like the electrician or plumber. So we will go start the next or the first phase or even wrap up a phase on a job because we are at that standstill stage. And weather does play a big factor on the scheduling. It really does. But when I do additions or exterior transformations, that's what really dictates the schedule and really could change. but I hone in a lot of, on the custom interiors, so it doesn't change too much for me on the inside based on weather, obviously. So it's really just a matter of coordinating and learning to do that juggling act. A running pun would be, let's put a tent over this circus and like call it a show, you know, like it just, but everything's run efficiently and it's not a circus, but in your head, it just feels that way because you're just juggling so much.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And with the projects that you complete, do you find that your clients hire you a second or even a third time to focus on other areas of their home once they're really satisfied with the first project that you completed?
1000%. Yes. It's they have that reclaimed kitchen. Now they want the reclaimed patio or outdoor space, or they want the reclaimed family room. And it may not be as big of a project as the kitchen, which is fine. A small project is okay. Maybe just come back and freshen up a room, new paint, some flooring, and some reclaimed touches, like some floating shelves or like a mantle or something like that. I have so many clients. I've done so many phases of their home over. It's very rewarding to be able to come back and them trust in me in that way. Just keep the style going in the home, you know?
Absolutely. And I can especially imagine that for your clients where you've done their kitchens, if they have guests over, they're like, oh my gosh, who did your kitchen? And then it's a great way for you to get kind of free marketing from that and those referrals and word of mouth sources.
Exactly. And that's why I always put my heart and soul into every project, because there's always going to be someone that wants work done or needs work done, I should say. And I want them to walk into their friend's house or that one person to see something, go, wow, we want this same exact kitchen or the same style space.
Right. Right.
And I don't want to be, ooh, like, what did he do there? Like, and you never get that with me. It's just, I heart and soul into everything I do. I have such passion for it that every detail is figured out.
Love that. And for our listeners who are tuning in to this episode and are potentially thinking about going off on their own and starting their own contracting business or construction business, do you have any advice that you could share with them?
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to fail, because fail is the first attempt in learning. So take the risks, but be cautious. Like, do what you financially can afford. Don't try to compete with anybody else but yourself. Don't invest in the brand new truck and all this new equipment. Work with what you have. Build your name. Don't get yourself to the point where you're upside down. Just focus on baby steps to, climb that mountain to get where you're at. And just really just be yourself.
I love that, especially with someone like yourself, where you're a one person business, people end up hiring you a lot for not only your work, but also who you are. It's like you're connecting with someone on that personal level and getting to know who they are as a human being and really meshing with their personality and feeling like you're truly connected. And so I love that advice of just being able to kind of show up, be true to who you are, and then the rest will follow.
Yep. And just put in a good, honest, like hard day's work. And just stay like humble and kind. Like, that's the biggest thing, is sometimes I'm so humble that it comes back as a lack in confidence, but it's just that I'm just so easygoing and just so humble to what I'm doing that it just comes across that way. But I really, really believe in just staying true to yourself.
Absolutely. And shifting gears a little bit, since you mentioned that you're based in Oxford, what would you say your favorite local businesses are to support?
I could do another shameless plug of my wife's business, Jean Marie Design and Mr. and Mrs. Naughty. But there's other local places. You have Whittier Farm here in town, and that's good for all your local produce and vegetables, you know, all that, and your local meats.
That's a good one too. And just being able to experience so many other places and whatnot. That's one of my favorite things about being a business owner is being able to support other business owners.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you can go to Isidore or Organics as well here in town, and they got a great selection of sandwiches and subs, and it's really good. It's really organic and earthy.
Awesome. Good to know. Andrew, this has been such an awesome episode, and I've really enjoyed learning more about you and your multiple businesses and all that you do. And I'd love if you could share with our listeners where they can find you online in case they'd like to connect with you further.
Perfect. And thank you for like having me. Thank you very much. This has been fun. Listeners can find me at www.reclaimedremodeling.com. And right on there, there's actually a form submission if they're interested in having work done. It gets sent right to my email, and I respond within 24 hours, typically.
Perfect. And I'll make sure to link to your website in the show notes so that way our listeners can click through and connect with you from there. But thanks so much for being a guest today.
Thank you very much, Ashley.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.